Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare. a very special speaker, Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle. Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle did MBBS from Grand Medical College and also did MS in Human Anatomy from the same college, and further he did DNB, and then he did DHRM, that is Diploma in Human Resource Management from Wellingkar Institute, Mumbai. And further, he did PGDHMHC, Post-Graduation Diploma in the Hospital and Healthcare Management from Mumbai University in 2005. Then further, he did GSMC, FAIMER, that is a Regional Institute Fellowship Award in 2010. So many degrees Prabhuji has, and he is, you know, very specifically known in the student community for helping them in their studies. He was as a warden in a very prestigious college for a very long period of time, and where he helped the students in various capacities. He is professor in human anatomy in a renowned medical college in Mumbai. He is practicing Krishna consciousness since 1994, and he has been daily attending the mantra meditation in the temple every day since 1996 for past 25 years. He assisted in various programs in the Mumbai for the welfare of the students in many medical colleges. So it's our great fortune that we have Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle with us for this Prerna Festival being fantastic. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle to come and please address.
So we welcome everybody for this session on being fantastic, which is the 188th Prerna Festival at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath, Mumbai, ISKCON Chowpatty. So we start our discussion on being fantastic. Everybody wants to be fantastic, and also fantastic that is always full of fun. Now let's talk about the problem first. We all want to have fun, but we are not happy. Just look at this tigress, so much full of energy, but lying morose. That's how we are. We are full of energy, today's youth, but want to have fun, but not able to. So being a medical teacher, being a doctor, I always prefer, let's investigate. You know, investigation nowadays has come in medical career, medical profession. Previously, you know, when a cow was taken to a general practitioner and he was asked that, is this a cow? And general practitioner used to say, yeah, this is a cow. Now we take a cow to an MD medicine fellow and ask him, is this a cow? And he says, so looks like a cow, but let me investigate, you know, because nowadays investigation has come in. You take the same cow to a super specialist and ask him, is this a cow? And firstly, he raises his hand and he says, I can't comment right now whether this is cow. This can be an atrophied elephant or a hypertrophied goat. So nowadays, you cannot just diagnose the issue. So we have to investigate. So let's investigate why we are not able to have fun, although we all of us want to be happy. The generation born after 1984 is called as millennial generation. Generation Y, Peter Pan generation, boomerang generation, all these names are given. Why boomerang generation? You know, because boomerang goes out and comes back. So initially this generation wanted to be independent. You know, sometimes we also dreamt in our childhood that I will be independent, I will earn my paper, ye karunga, main udhar doodh ye karke mera khud ka paisa kamaunga, I will earn and live and this. And then we realized, no, world is too expensive. We come back to our father, mother, ki thoda paisa chahiye, thoda sa ye chahiye, you know. That is called as a boomerang generation. Peter Pan generation, you know, this Peter Pan syndrome is where we talk about people not getting married, don't want to have children. You know, this is how nowadays the trend is. Previously, at age of 25, People used to get married and they had children also. Nowadays, at 25, people complete graduation somehow and they get married at 30, they have children at 35. You know, when the previous generation used to have early children, their children used to have early children, a person used to be grandfather at the age of 50. And he used to be looking young. So when he used to go to drop the kid, his grandkid to the school, you know, the teacher used to ask, okay, you are the father. He used to say, no, I am grandfather. Nowadays, exactly opposite happened. The father goes to drop the kid and they say, are you grandfather? No, I am father. So this is how the millennial generation has ended up: late marriage, late kids, everything late, no planning. And what do the millennials exactly want? You know, they want at workplace positive reinforcement. They want inclusivity, that they should be included in everything. They want honesty. They want flexibility. Still, there is some missing link, and that's what we are investigating today. And the reasons for the missing link come in the way we were groomed in our childhood. And let me start, what went wrong in our grooming? Actually, most of us were groomed as the favorite children, single child. And, you know, this is what even teachers did to us. When we failed in mathematics, this is how they wrote on our maths paper: square root of 49 upon 50. So, you know, we got a feeling, oh, I almost got 49. Oh, square root. Oh, sorry, I didn't see that. But this is how we were never felt made to feel. You know, my wife is a principal in one of the schools, and there, you know, she was telling me that nowadays the principals in education, they don't allow us to use this red ink because red is scary. So, you know, they use pink, they use green. You know, they fail the child, but they use, you know, different colors. So what went wrong in the grooming? In the childhood, everyone told us, you are special. You are a special child. I was, you know, the only son of my parents. So I was treated very special. You can have anything you want. And you get a participation medal even when you come last. You know, in the church, in our school, although we came last in that running race, still a medal actually, and we felt so nice. And then what happened is, when we were thrust in the real world, we realized we are not special. There are many special people, so I am almost normal. We cannot have anything, and we don't get anything if we come last. You know, these were the lessons we learned after we were thrust into the real world. Technology, that was the second factor. Life is much like a Facebook. People like your problems and comment, but no one is going to solve them because everybody seems too busy in updating their own. So what has happened is, you know, people, you know, they on social media, they just show that life is amazing, even though they are depressed. They are eating pills for depression, but they, you know, show that they are, you know, having a very nice life. Therefore, it is said that before you fake your lifestyle on Facebook, at least block the people who know you in person, you know. Now, what happens is, engaging in social media releases a hormone called dopamine. Let's talk a little medical. Social media, we perform action, wait for a reaction, we get a reward. And what does this dopamine do? This dopamine is the same chemical which is secreted when people smoke, people drink, people gamble, people indulge in sex, and when we use social media. That means use of social media, which was the second factor I'm talking about this generation, means engaging it is like engaging in smoking, drinking also, the same hormone. And this is how dopamine, that numbness one gets by dopamine, that numbness makes us addictive of the social media. Unfortunately, there are no restrictions, age restrictions for social media, though there are age restrictions for smoking, gambling, and alcohol. Okay. So what has happened is, people get addicted to this numbing effect of dopamine due to alcohol, gambling, smoking. And whenever they are stressed, they don't turn to a true friend, but they turn to a bottle or they turn to social media. That's the unfortunate thing. And because we have access to these dopamine producing devices, what happens is we don't have deep, meaningful relations. Our friendships are superficial. We have fun with our friends, but we never know that, when they will leave us, if they get something better. During stress, we turn to a device which offers us just a temporary relief, but not a permanent solution. I am not here to tell you that social media is bad, but there should be a balanced approach. Whenever our friends are sitting, or we are sitting in a circle of friends, we should just keep our mobile away, because they are there in person. We should be asking, how is your father? How is your mother? That's what creates relations. At one place it happened that, I went and one person was constantly talking on mobile and chatting. And I was standing almost for 10 minutes before him. So I said, should I also call? I'll go out and I'll call you. If you prefer to talk on phone, I don't mind going out and calling you also. I don't mind chatting with you. I'm there in front of you, so why don't you talk with me? Instead, you are talking to somebody who is kilometers away from you. And today's generation, what is traumatic for them? Somebody unfriends them, somebody blocks them on Facebook and WhatsApp. It's like a heartbreak. People take a heartbreak. Sometimes people attempt suicide because somebody has blocked me on Facebook or WhatsApp. This Nisha Jindal case, this was from Chhattisgarh. Celebrity Nisha Jindal, followed by 10,000 people. Everybody used to look forward to become friends with Nisha Jindal. Very beautiful, good-looking female. And you know what it turned out to be? My police custody, Nisha Jindal, who? That he was the person who was operating Nisha Jindal's account, and 10,000 people crazy after Nisha Jindal, that, oh, Nisha, she accepted my friendship. Oh, I'm following her. And you can still go to Google and just type Nisha Jindal case, and then you will get the whole details how this fellow, now look at how he is. I don't want to comment. Look how Nisha Jindal looks. And this is how we are getting fooled. We are getting just fooled on the social media. So after grooming and social media, we come to the third point. What went wrong, or what is going wrong in our today's generation, that is impatience. And why this impatience has been created? Because today there is a world of instant gratification. Want to buy something, go to Amazon. Previous generations, they never had Amazon. They had to go to other town to buy something. When I was staying in Satara, some things were not available in Satara, so I had to go to Pune. So when go to Pune, after 3 months, my father used to say, once in six months, no Amazon. You want to watch a movie, purchase it online. We used to be standing for Amitabh Bachchan's movie, Sholay and all, black, are aaj ka full, kal ka full, parso ka full, every day morning going. Nowadays, any one of you have ever faced, ki you want to watch a movie and you are not getting tickets? No, buy it, download it. That's how, instant gratification has come in. You want to watch a TV show. Previously, TV shows used to be like this, even Ramayana used to watch. Ravan comes and stands before the hut where Mother Sita is, and then Ramayana, it used to end. And then we used to know that Ravan abducted Sita, but still we used to feel, oh, kya ho, aage kya ho, aage kya ho. And then the whole next episode, Ravan will converse and just pick up Sita and sit in the airplane, and Jatayu comes. And Ramayana, it will end. So, what will happen next? And in other serials, somebody comes and just points a gun, about to shoot the hero, and it used to end. So we used to look for, hey, kal kya hoga, kal kya. And sometimes some of the serials in our childhood, they used to be weekly. So 7 days we used to be thinking, kya hoga, wo marega ki nahi marega. We used to be anxious. Nowadays, people, they just skip seasons to, binge at the end and see what happened. And then they sometimes see reverse, after beach, okay. This is how, things are going. Even for getting love. They just need a right swipe nowadays. In the older generation, people used to be, hello, hi, hi, nahi, kuch nahi ho rahe. Then 10 times going around her house, looking at the window, or she's not there. Nowadays, you know, people, even for relationships, it's instant. Okay, ho, yes, no. That's how, you know, what we get slowly without apps is job satisfaction and strong relationships. For that strong relationships, I'm not always talking about a relationship between boy and a girl. It is strong relationship between friends also. So that, you don't need apps actually. You don't need an app to find a strong bonding friendship. And job satisfaction, that is what's happening. They are all slow. So these all things are slow. Love every time doesn't mean love between a boy and girl. Love is loving, having loving relation in our friend circle, job satisfaction, deep relation, skills. You know, they all assure happiness, but we need patience to achieve this. What has happened is we want to be at the mountain peak, but we don't want to climb the mountain. Now you see this person and we feel, oh, I want to be here. And you know, people click their selfies from this point and we feel, oh, I want to be there. But we don't see the journey, how he went to the mountain, how many times he got injured, how many times he fell down, how many days he took it to reach there. So always don't just look at the mountain peak. See at the journey and be prepared for the journey towards the mountain peak. The last point is environment. Nowadays, environment has become so corporate, even in the medical field, in engineering field, in business field, that people just want results, numbers, and short-term gains. And that's where a millennial generation who wants to make an impact, who wants to do something good, but are impatient and are not able to sit in one place for a long time. And this is how the working environment is. We, you know, don't need to get, we don't get novel ideas due to constant engagement. Nowadays, you know, people, they want to use the toilet also. They will carry the mobile. You know, they otherwise feel, what will I do? What will I do? So I had written this few days back that Archimedes would have never experienced the Eureka moment if he would have carried a smartphone in his bathroom. Because he was not having a smartphone, he sat in that water tub, the water fell down, and Archimedes said, Eureka. If he had a smartphone, the water kept on falling down and he was busy checking Facebook, social media. He would have never discovered the Archimedes principle. You know, so most novel ideas actually come in the bathroom toilet when people are taking baths. So I would advise people that don't need for constant engagement, you know. There was one friend of mine sometimes used to put status like this, sorry guys, 1 hour I was away from Facebook, please update what happened. You know, I said, that's fine. Now some medical gyan for all of you. GABA versus glutamate. GABA is the hormone which has a calming effect. It calms us down. Versus glutamate is an excitatory hormone. Okay? And the balance, you can see in the first image, there is a balance and person is good. Excitation balanced with the calming effect. In the second, you see too much of glutamate. Sorry for this medical gyan, but too much of glutamate, because those who are watching online, everybody may not be, this time, first time they may be hearing of GABA and glutamate. But in the second image, you can see there is the tilt because glutamate is high. So when glutamate becomes high in our brains, what happens is anxiety, restlessness, migraines, tics. Now let me talk about how this glutamate is there inside our body. It is formed inside our body, but what is happening today is we are providing our body with an additional supply of glutamate, and that is monosodium glutamate, which is a normal content of fast food, chips, snacks, seasonal blends, frozen meals, processed meats, and instant noodles. 2 minutes Maggi noodles. That has monosodium glutamate. So glutamate, we are adding glutamate. We want peace of mind. Everybody says, I want peace of mind. And what we are eating is glutamate, which just makes us restless. So how can we have peace of mind with a dosage of glutamate going 3 times in our body? In our childhood, we always needed the approval of parents. adult life, we just take up role of our peers. But still, there is something common that we still need friends. Okay, we still need friends, whether we are adult or child. Otherwise, loneliness creeps in. So now let's talk about some solutions. How to become happy, and we have to avoid some things to become happy. And first thing of that is avoid gossip. You know, gossip is one of the source of our happiness here. Come on, how to tell the today generation, avoid gossip. Just come together and speak about her, speak about him and how he is bad, how she is bad. And we enjoy, especially if we are hating that person and we meet another person who also hates that person. Wow. Then, jamega ram jab mil baithenge, hum, tum, main, all haters against that fellow. I say, you know. And then, whole night we just keep on telling, "Are, you don't know the details. I'll tell you how horrible that person." Then you tell your experience. And then that just goes on. And every time we gossip, this is the mantra we speak, that don't tell anyone, okay? Don't tell anyone. And you know, this, it goes and comes back to us. So what happens is, when we engage in gossip, you know, people also gossip about us. And then one day we come to know from others that this is how people talk about us. And you know, that is depressing. Now, how does this form a mantra to become happy? That if we don't indulge in gossip, and we always speak nice about everyone, why should anybody speak bad about us? So, and when nobody is speaking bad about us, we automatically become happy. I'm going to the root of the problem. Otherwise, you know, how our day is spoiled when someday somebody just tells, "Are, these people were talking about you, that you know, you are like this." And whole day we are on a low. Whole day. And then we are, you know, what we are thinking? "Are, I did so much for these people. I did so much, and this is what they are speaking about me." Why this has happened? Because we have been speaking ill about others. Others also speak ill about us. And this is where we end up when we gossip. Don't be judgmental. You know, by me saying don't be judgmental, because when we are judgmental, others also judge us. You know, we are always judgmental, whether he or she is a nice person, a good person, and we you know, he's intelligent, he's bad, he's good, and we keep on passing remarks. So if we are judgmental, others also judge us. So therefore, never be judgmental in our life. Never spread negativity. You know, negativity is always feeling, you know, now these exams are there. And suddenly, you know, all of you are somehow struggling, somehow studying. And then comes one fellow and says, "Mereko nahi lagta hum sab log pass ho jayenge." That is the last thing we needed here. You know, that was the thought in my mind also. But then why are you speaking? You know, horrible. And then, you know, people start scaring. And if the examiner is bad, if this is there, and, you know, koi khadus aa gaya to, and then, you know, always spread sunshine. Always give hope to others. You know, how you feel, you know, when somebody comes and says, "Oh, you are such a, you are good. You are prepared. Come." So even though I am not prepared, I feel I am prepared. Yeah, I am prepared. Yes. So, you know, many times I come to the temple and while leaving, you know, somebody tells me, "Oh, you are such nice. You do such nice meditation. You give nice lectures." I feel, yeah, good. You know, I feel this person has made my day. If somebody glorifies you, you feel so nice. You know, you feel you made my day. Come on. Somebody say, tells bad about us, we go into a low for a whole day. Somebody boosts us. So that means if somebody is boosting, you know, my energy levels, why can't I boost other person's energy levels? So whenever we come in contact with anybody, "Yeah, come on, you're doing good. Yeah, good. You are studying nicely. Yeah, I was looking at." So So I refuse to allow negative things to spoil all the awesome things in my life because I choose happiness. And whenever you take on a path of spiritual path, a path which is not taken by others, these are some seven quotes I would like to like all of you to read. That first thing you should understand that when you are doing something great, not everyone will understand you. Holds true especially for the medical students, engineering students. They have so much study. Nobody understands them. They say, "Arey, aaja na, shaadi hai yaar, come on, 7 days nachne ka, khane ka. 7 days, we say, 7 days. 7 days mein mera itna padhai, you know, we think how much studies I will lose. So great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. The mediocre mind is incapable of understanding a man who refuses to go blindly to conventional prejudices and chooses instead to express his opinion courageously and honestly. This was by Albert Einstein. These are seven quotes. Don't change for others. John Lennon, who was part of the Beatles, you know, he gave this mantra. Don't change for others. Beatles were so much associated with this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, that George Harrison, one of the Beatles, he was the one who has composed, in the morning if you come at 7:45, the Darshan Aarti, Govinda Madhi Purusham. George Harrison has played guitar for that. He's the one who has composed the entire tune. His song, My Sweet Lord, you should try to hear. And John Lennon was one of them. One of the Beatles team, and he says, don't change for others. We try, change in the sense, I'm not saying we should, of course, accommodate others, but we don't change by means, don't give up your good qualities for others. Dream big, really big. Michael Phelps was, he has a record of 28 Olympic medals. So he said, so many people along the way, whatever it is you aspire to do will tell you that it can't be done, but all it takes is imagination, your dream, your plan, and you reach. So what we should really think big and go for it, you know. Never get ki nahi hoga hai. Now everybody fails, even like I see always in a medical school that the first year is the toughest year, and people start feeling whether hoga ki nahi hoga, and then people get into feeling that I am at a wrong place, I am at a wrong college, I am at a wrong course, you know, everything. I don't think I am meant for this. And this happens in most of the courses, because first year you suddenly change from 12th standard to a professional course. This happens typically. But when we are dreaming big, we should just concentrate on our dream, our plan. People will always disagree with you. We always feel that I propose something and everybody in the hall agrees. Oh, what a brilliant idea. No, you propose something and always 4 or 5 people, you know, will come up and say, no, this is not a good idea. Sometimes you are alone, but you don't have to feel lonely. Now, these are the times in life you will face at some point of time. So that you can believe in yourself. And there will always come a day when others will have no choice but to believe in you. You are perfect just the way you are. And this is one of the important principles we have to accept for being happy. You know, we always try to be somebody else, you know. We always try to become somebody else, that I want to become like him, I want to become like her. And we many times don't have the same capacities like him or her. And you know, we have some of our friends who are so brilliant that they read once and they remember everything. And I have to read 8 times to remember something. In spite of reading 10 times, I still forget in exam. But I have to accept that I am like this. I am like this. So let me read 10 times. Let me not try to become somebody else. And I am like this. This is how my skin color is. This is my eye color. This is my hair color. This is how I am. And I love the way I am. You know, that heroes and heroines of Bollywood, that is one thing, a damaging thing they do, is they create a picture and we feel that I want to become like them. You know, And it doesn't happen like that. You should accept, I am perfect the way I am. This is how God has created me like this. If God wanted me to be something else, He would have created me like that. If He has created me like this, this is my height, this is a short, I am height, I am heighted, whatever. I am fat, I am thin, I eat little bit and I put on weight. Okay, this is how I am. Okay, so you have to just accept the way you are and be happy with it. Never be complaining. And find then solutions on, you know, changing yourself little bit so that you can be comfortable. When all fails, you have to remember this quote by Christian Butler. He says that sunset is a proof that no matter whatever happens, the day can end beautifully. You know, so sometimes, you know, days are bad, and nowadays, because we are staying in this urban cities like Mumbai and all, when was the last you saw sunset and sunrise? Sunrise, I don't want to ask only because that is the time. What has happened in today's generation is that sunrise and sunset, both of the times they are sleeping. Because sunrise they are sleeping because they slept late, and sunset they are sleeping because they want to sleep late, so they sleep at sunset also. But, you know, going to the at the open field, looking at the sky, you know, these are some of the things which really, really, you know, make us feel beautiful. Now, coming back to the things we were talking about, to become happy, some things which we can avoid. And the fourth thing is complaining. We say it's our national sport, complaining. Anything, we can complain about politics, politicians, how our college is functioning, how government is functioning, how BMC is functioning. And we can just complain and we can go on and on. Therefore, if you've seen this picture, complaint window is full, gratitude window, nobody. How many of us make it a point to thank, you know? So this is one thing I learned from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who is, you know, the person who stays in this temple. One day you'll meet him in the next, some of the Prerna festivals also. So he used to teach that his mother has taught him to say thank you. Thank you to anyone. The waiter also, thank you. How many times you get down from the taxi and we say thank you. So learn that. Learn that. Learn that. Anything anybody is doing for you. We feel like usko paisa to diya hai, to thank you kya bolne ka? No. Say thank you. Thank you to your teacher. Thank you to your friends. How many times we have said thank you to our parents? We rarely thank them. Sometimes we may thank our friends, but we fail to say thank you to our parents also. And one day, you know, it happened with my daughter that she does this professional singing. And whole day, you know, I was there. One of her songs, Raghupati Raghav Rajaram, if you check on YouTube, typing Lahadini Bhosle, HLADINI. It has 100 lakh views. But when I went for that shooting of that song, you know, I was acting like a spot boy. I was acting like an assistant to an actress. You know, she was standing on the beach and doing her lip movements. And I was holding the speaker around her. And, you know, and then at the end of the day, you know, she said thank you to me. And I felt so nice. As a father, I felt so nice. Oh, she thanked me. And then when her song, you know, got 1 million, then now 10 million. And whenever she goes out, she comes to the temple, people take selfies with her. And then every time that happens, she comes to me and says, okay, thank you, Father. Thank you. Because of you, this happened. So I also feel nice, you know. So with that, I learned a lesson. If somebody says thank you to me, why I'm telling you this story, if somebody says thank you to me, I feel nice. That means I should also say thank you to others so that they feel nice. Say thank you. Thank you. So that's the, unfortunately, the gratitude window, there is nobody. ABCD, that's our favorite game. Accuse, blame, complain, and defend. Defend ourselves. That I was never at fault. Accuse somebody. We are blame throwers. So it makes things worse. It takes away energy. It's easier to complain than to solve. It's habit forming. It's contagious. We pass it on to others. and it damages our credibility and it's bad for the brain. So we should avoid getting into this ABCD of accuse, blame, complain. Then excuses. We always have an excuse for, you know, we never say sorry. We give some excuse, you know. Even we come late somewhere, we don't say sorry. Sorry, baapre, sorry, muh se nikalna matlab, it's so difficult. As if you are trying to get something out of the intestine. Matlab, stomach ka sometimes regurg hoke upar bhi aata hai. But small intestine, large intestine ka cheez bahar laake esophagus mein se nikal rahe. Itna wo sorry becomes so difficult. So that is the fifth point. The sixth point, exaggerating things when we keep on lying. So lie may take care of the present but has no future. And dogmatism, always my way. We are so, even when we want to go for a movie, we suggest, let's go for this movie. And we are so sure about that, this is the best. No, always my way, no. Then we will not be happy in a social group. Okay, sometimes your way also. Okay, you want to see? Okay, I'll join. Okay, even though you may hate that hero and heroine. Okay, chalo. You like it. Okay, I'm there with you. I'm just giving example. It may be a movie, it may be a play, or it may be a choice of food. When you go to a restaurant, you want to eat South Indian and somebody with you wants to eat Chinese. Okay, you want it. So sometimes we should learn to blend and flex. And then, you know, people will start loving you. They'll realize, okay, this fellow, you know, he is so flexible, he's so malleable, he's not rigid, he's not always pushing everything. Because I love pani puri, everywhere you go, you have to eat pani puri only if you are accompanying me. That doesn't work. This short formula, now we are talking about the solutions. Hail, honesty, authenticity, integrity, and loving. Loving means just wishing people well. It really works. Now, we are coming towards the end of my lecture and I am giving you some few short stories for this. So, this was a story told by one motivational speaker from New York. And he used to say that we used to have marathons, short marathons, long marathons every Sunday. And at the end of the marathon, whoever used to participate in the marathon, they used to arrange donuts, and but there used to be a huge queue because donuts are given free. Already people are running, and those who run, they can always run towards the line also. Some people may be running for the donut itself. So many times you participate, na? Okay, participation. Anybody who participates gets a burger. Okay, wow, let me participate. So they finished running one day, and he and his friend were sitting, and there was a long queue for the donut. And this motivational speaker, he wanted to have the donut. So he said to his friend that, let's have the donut, free donut. So his friend said, no, see, the queue is too long. Again he said, but donut is free. He said, no, queue is long. But again he said, no, free donut. He said, long queue. And then he realized, what is happening? I am seeing what I want and he is only seeing the problem. So when you concentrate on the problem, you never see the donut at the end, which you can get. This especially happens in our MBBS course, you know. 13 years, wow. First thing, long queue. They say, no, we don't. Half of the people nowadays don't join MBBS just because they say, oh, 5 years of UG, 3 years of PG, 3 years of super special. I don't want to. Are you, what life you are going to live after that? Are you realizing it? Not possible for whatever you do, MBA and whatever. You know, I know of super specialists. Who are practicing. I know of cardiac surgeons who charge 5 lakh rupees for one operation and are doing top 20, you know, coronary bypass in a day. 20 into 5 lakhs. Calculate the income. And people, so what happened is people only see the long queue, but he was always seeing the donut. He was always calculating 20 into 5 lakhs. That's what the daily income is. Daily income. A simple ophthalmic surgeon who charges, 30,000 to 50,000 for a cataract surgery. There are people, my own relatives, who are, operating upon at least 10 to 20 patients every day, charging 50,000 rupees. Just an ophthalmic surgery. I'm not even talking about a coronary bypass surgery. So those who wanted to become, they always saw the donut. They said that is money and they can use the money for good purpose also. It's not that every time you have to use the money to build bungalows. Once you have money, you can do something good for the society also. But what I'm saying is, others always saw it as a long queue. And always there is going to be long queue. Always. So we have to be patient. Nothing you will get, without a queue and nobody is there. There is no competition. And there is like a cakewalk. And at the end, you get what you want. That never happens. We have to accept. So he said that when I kept on saying free donut, and my friend kept on saying long queue, I understand that he was seeing the problem and I was seeing my goal. So I left him there. I went into the line, I stood and I got my donut, and he kept on sitting like that, just watching me eating my donut. So what I am telling you is, we have to concentrate on our goal if we really want to be happy in life. So see the donut, rule number one. Now this is something medical I want to speak about. There was a time in the 19th century where the mothers used to die after giving birth to children. And it was a horrible phase in medical sciences. And what was happening is the doctors were investigating why these children are dying and mothers are dying. So the morning they used to do autopsy of those mothers and the children. And what they used to do is, after doing those autopsies, they used to attend the deliveries. And this doctor, Dr. Ignaz, he kept on telling them that in between you are not washing hands. You are doing autopsy and directly going to the delivery room. So you are carrying the virus, the bacteria, and that is killing the mother and child. So he just talked about hand sanitizers. And he died actually. He was put in a mental asylum. So many people, accused him that what nonsense you are talking about. And then they realized that just by hand sanitizing in between after conducting autopsy and going here, they could, just by hand sanitizing, the mother and child both, they were able to save. And that time the doctors realized that sometimes you are the problem. And when you are the problem, when you are not listening, many times it must have happened in your life also. People must have told you, "Are you like no, I am correct. No, are you this? No, I am correct. I am correct." And these doctors, then they realized they killed so many mothers just because they failed to sanitize their hands. So sometimes we have to accept that yes, you are the problem. These are the U.S. Navy SEALs. And they have to go through a training program called as BUDS. And who gets selected? Normally we feel that these Navy SEALs, these are the best military people in the world. So we feel that those who have great build and muscles, no, they are not the ones who get selected. Those who get selected are the ones who help others when others are exhausted. And this is what the survey, came up, that who gets selected here. And majority of them were the ones who were always there for others. They were the ones who got selected in the U.S. Navy SEALs. With so many, documentaries are there, how these U.S. Navy SEALs are operating. And none of them who had good muscles and all, they got selected. So always be there for others, there are some friends in our life, we feel that they are there. They are always there for us. Such a great support. So we should also try to become such a support for others. Now this person, you may not know, but he is the father of Nelson Mandela. So Nelson Mandela was asked that, how did you become a great leader? He said, I learned it from my father. Now how, his father was just a head of a tribal, he was a head of a tribe, he was a tribal chief. And he said, my father always for his meetings, you know, he used to sit in circle. And he said, my father, although the head of a tribe, was always last to speak. He used to hear everybody and then he used to speak. We always want to be first to speak, right? Whenever there is something, we give our opinion immediately. This order. How many times, you know, we say that I'll be the last one to speak. Let everybody speak. So he said, I learnt it from my father. And this is the image of his father. He said, when everybody spoke and then my father, it's not that he didn't speak. He was always, he used to give opportunity to others to speak. And others used to feel good, you know, when he heard them. When somebody hears, you know, sometimes we have so many things in our heart and we want to tell somebody and we, you know, go with that person and say, ah, bolo, bolo, jaldi bolo, jaldi bolo, jaldi bolo. And we are not done. He said, okay. So we feel that we are not heard. You know, we feel bad. This is problems currently with the elderly persons. You know, elderly people, when they go to the hospitals, they whole night they are making a list. Idhar dukhta hai, idhar dukhta hai, ye hota hai, pani pita ho to ye hota hai, khana khata hai to ye hota hai, ye wo wo. And he enters the clinic of the doctor and doctor says, kya hota hai? He said, chalu karta nahi, jaldi bolo. Achha, ye rant hai, you go. He said, are suno to pehle suno what I want to say. He just, sometimes they just feel that, please hear me. I want somebody to hear. So we also, whenever we have so many problems in life, we feel so nice if somebody just sits down and hears all our frustrations. And then we feel so light. Oh, you know, he heard without interrupting. We feel so nice. So others also feel nice when we hear. How is the hearing done? We feel hearing is done with ears. No. Hearing is done with three organs, ears, eyes and heart. So eyes also should be fixed. I remember the one of my teachers, you know, during my medical school, I used to enter for viva and I used to expect him sitting on the table. So I went inside and he was at the window, looking out of the window. So he heard the sound of the door. He used to say, "Aao, baitho." So I said, tell me something about red blood corpuscles. I don't. Done. Tell me something about white blood corpuscles. Done. You can go now. I said, dekho to sahi mere taraf ek baar, you know. So you feel so bad if people even don't look. Nowadays, you know, people are so busy with the mobile. Haan, bolo, bolo, bolo. If you cannot tell a person, bolo, 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 if you are not looking at that. So Nelson Mandela said, I learned this from my father. He used to sit in the meeting of the tribe, look at every person, what everybody wants to speak. These are some things, you know, which everybody inculcates, then, you know, the society will become a very nice place. And the last story is about a ceramic cup. And this was told by a US secretary who retired. So he was called for a function and as he was giving his lecture, he looked at this styrofoam cup and he said, I have retired last year. And he said, last year when I came for this conference, they gave me a business class ticket. They picked me at the airport. They checked me into the hotel. They got me here back and gave me coffee in a ceramic cup. Now I retired. And now what happened is after 1 year, I have come here after retirement. I traveled on my own. I took a taxi. I searched the hotel. I came here and I asked for a coffee and somebody told me that the coffee vending machine is there and in a styrofoam cup, the white cup which is next, I took the coffee. So that's how he started the lecture. And now he said, with this styrofoam cup, I was remembering my ceramic cup last year, in which I was drinking the coffee. And I realized that the ceramic cup doesn't last forever. You know, we always have our own ceramic cups, which we want to last forever. In most of the phases of our life, we feel that this should just go on like this, so nicely. In our childhood, you know, we always felt that my age should be like this only, my father and mother should be like this, and grandfathers also should be like this. But no, this world is not like this, okay? The ceramic cup will not stay forever. Whatever is ours today may go to somebody else. So we have to practice some detachment. We are so attached to so many things, and we are not ready to give up our attachment. So unless we practice detachment in our life, we cannot become happy. Otherwise, what happens is we are attached to something that is taken away, we feel bad. We are attached to something else, it is taken away, we feel. So every time we are feeling bad. Why we are feeling bad? Because we are attached. And here we are discussing how to become fantastic. How can we become fantastic if you have 100 attachments? That means there are 100 potential sources which can make us unhappy. So he said, don't be attached to ceramic cups of your life. Last time it was ceramic cup, now it is a styrofoam cup. I just accept it. So let's talk about how this Krishna consciousness moment is a really a fantastic moment. Well, otherwise what happens is in material enjoyment, most of the time we have fun and we suffer. We see more, we get spectacles, we hear more. Right now, you know, people, today's generation is not thinking about the ear. Everybody is having ear pods and thak, thak, thak. Eventually the deafness, mild deafness comes in. Smell more, people want to smell, and that's how people end in drug addiction. Eat more and people end in diabetes. Indulge in sex, illicit sex, they end up having AIDS. Even sleeping more can make a person diseased. And defending, always anxious about defending, can make a person hypertensive. So let's unfollow all this. This is a mnemonic I made of how spirituality is a fantastic process. You know, spirituality is full of bliss. Many of you who have attended this last time when we had a Janmashtami festival. Whenever we had it, people used to be dancing, you know, and they used to enjoy so much. They used to love. They used to feel that blissfulness while chanting. So that is for F. You under the shelter of Lord Krishna. We want to become happy. The first thing we have to do is we have to take shelter of God. How that makes us happy? Because what happens is, like, I'll give you an example. In my own life, my grandfather's younger brother was chief minister of the state. So that time he used to stay at Varsha Bungalow, which is the chief minister's residence. And in our entire family that time, we were only 3 grandkids. From all the brothers of my grandfather. And 3 of us, my elder sister, me and two of my cousins, we used to be there at Varsha Bungalow, and we used to eat whatever we want. And then whenever he used to go out, we used to sit in his car and press the siren button. And whenever he used to go anywhere, we used to sit in the helicopter also. You know, for sitting in airplane, you need money, but sitting in helicopter, you need a fortune. You know, so from Satara to Mumbai, I traveled in a helicopter with him. And whenever I used to go with him, I still remember helicopter getting down at Mathiran, and they just gave me cake and all. So many memories I have. So, and I became such a fearless person that my grandfather is the chief minister of this state. You know, I had no fear from police, no fear from anyone. You know, I had become fearless. So with that analogy, I realized, no, everybody's grandfather cannot become chief minister, right? But Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he's so powerful that he is moving the planets. You know, sometimes we see somebody moving an airplane. You know, we feel, oh, so much power. Somebody pushing a car. Now here is the Lord who is pushing all the planets which are hanging in the universe and making them rotate and revolve. Such Lord who is so powerful, if he becomes my friend, you have a powerful friend, how fearless you become. You know, after even my grandfather retired, I had one friend of mine. He was kind of a, you know, thoda sa gunda type in the whole college. And everybody knew that he is my friend. So nobody used to touch me in our junior college. Because everybody knew he was a friend. So again, I took that analogy. I had that when I have a powerful friend, I need not be, you know, not afraid of anything. Okay. Many times we are scared. But when we have the Lord with us, we are not afraid of anything. God consciousness makes us talented also. Today, this photograph which you see here is the Madhava's rock band. And they were, you know, almost the runner-ups for the India talent show. So it's not that somebody takes up to spirituality means, you know, he loses all the talent. This photograph which you can see here is painted by Krishna conscious devotees. Today we have a rock band in ISKCON. Today we have one of the best restaurants in South Bombay, Govinda's restaurant. All of you, I think, must have ate there some point. You know, it's out of the world taste. So, Krishna conscious person, anything they do dance, they cook food, they create music, anything, you know, and that's how people become talented. And I, myself, I had this one experience I want to share. In my 10th standard, you know, there was this essay writing, an essay book. And the English teacher came into our room and she distributed the essay books. And I said, I didn't receive mine. And she, you know, took my notebook and she threw it actually. She said, horrible essay. And I felt so bad. You know, I was insulted. My mother was called to the school just because I was not writing my essays properly. 10 years after that, I joined ISKCON. And I joined the Back to Godhead magazine. And I ended up writing articles for the international edition. If you check the Back to Godhead magazine for the Marathi edition, for the Hindi and even for the English, I wrote so many articles. And when I wrote, my articles used to be accepted and published at international level. I used to remember my teacher throwing my essay notebook. And I realized this is how God has made me talented. So God consciousness also makes you talented, also makes you attractive. You must have realized you visit the temple. You know, first time when I was in my second MBBS, I started visiting the temple. And one thing I used to do is I used to just keep on looking at the faces of all the devotees here. I used to feel they are so bright. You know, they are so attractive. And only thing I used to be zapped looking at how this people are so, they have a serene look on the this thing. Otherwise, most of the people who are not practicing devotion, even they are riding a scooter, you see, most of them in this world are like this. They are doing anything. You know, people are smoking. And here you see so many blissful faces, you know. You go into devotional service, you rise and shine. I'm just not talking about jumping high in a kirtan. You rise and shine. I had so many personal experiences. I was a student who got 69% in my 10th standard. And I never thought that I will become a doctor. 12th standard, I had 97%, exactly opposite of this. I had taken to spirituality and in my MBBS days. And you know, I again go back to my sharing my own personal experience. There was a debate competition in the school where, you know, I was supposed to speak. Bharatat Lokshahi Asavi Kanasavi. And I was like biharting it and I forgot 10 times. The whole school, you know, laughed at me. Paper balls were thrown at me. And I never thought that I will become a speaker. You know, today, tomorrow I am speaking at the World Bhakti Sangh, which will be, you know, relayed internationally. So I am thinking that, you know, I was a person, the same person who couldn't write anything, God made me eligible. So it's not my credit. I am just talking about how God consciousness empowers you. And I myself have experienced this. I was not able to speak. I had such stage fear. And I became a medical teacher. You know, where I have to take lecture every day. You know, for speaking for 5 minutes, I used to be so scared. So God empowers you. You rise and you shine. You feel tranquilized. You feel so peaceful. taking up to God consciousness. You become impressive. This is Alfred Ford, who is the grandson of Mr. Ford, who is who owns the Ford company. And he is, you know, he, in spite of being such from such a rich family, he is so humble, you know. I would not say that he is my friend, but he is my Facebook friend, of course. And you can go to, his name is Ambarish Das. You can go to Facebook and follow him. And so many humble things he's doing, you know, dedicated his life. Sometimes we feel that I just want to become rich, and here is the one of the richest person in the world. He says, I just want to become Krishna's devotee. You know, these people are so impressive and fantastic. We have come almost to the last point, that once you take up to Krishna consciousness, you become so cool. This person in the photo is Mr. Rishikesh Mofatlal. You know, and you, when you come to the temple regularly, you will see him once the temple opens up, coming him on Sundays. A very cool person. And I always felt that he's just cool because he's rich. But then, you know, once I was talking with him and he was telling me, you know, how sometimes his one of his company went to trouble, and then again he came up with some solutions, and there were so many ups and downs. And when I heard all the ups and downs, like there was one person who had troubled me, and same person had troubled him, and then that's how we were discussing. And I realized he had so many ups and downs. So I was feeling that he just cool because he's rich, but no, he has learned to practice devotion so nicely. When we learn to practice, all of us want to be cool, right? So we are not disturbed. Okay, are university exam is preponed, it's tomorrow. Okay, that's fine. How many of us are that cool? Yeah. Immediately, you know, people start vomiting. You know, I have so many stories, you know, I get before the practical exams. Every day morning when I take up my phone in the hand, I have some student, you know, sending me message, sir, I have been vomiting since morning. I just realized that this is the vomiting which is due to hyperacidity, which has been due to the psychosomatic pressure and stress. I remember one of my students, he was sitting for his first MBBS exams and going for the spots, and he was the last roll number. And as I was walking through, he was looking at me like this, like this. So I have a sixth sense. So I just called him out. I said, you have some problem? He said, sir. And I saw Bolke, he ran to the bathroom and he vomited in front of me. And I immediately went to the examiners. I said, can you just, his turn is anyways last. Can you just give me 5 minutes? I took him to the casualty, gave him a pantoprazole injection. He felt nice. Very fact that he has got an injection felt him nice, you know. And he came back and he gave his exam, and he, till date, you know, he says, sir, that day I would have vomited in the exam and vomited and vomited, and I would have not appeared for my practicals. I would have flunked in my first year, and then the whole course would have got disrupted. So he said, I was just under pressure. And then the same person, the good part of it, he, you know, took up to Krishna consciousness, he took up to devotional service, and now he is at Jeju Hospital, and I think he is doing MD medicine over there, or about to complete. He must have completed the course also, and doing very well. And so what I am telling you is, in my first year also, my hands were trembling when I was like 2 days away from my university exam. And then, you know, I was trying to contact Mumbai University that whether I'll get a writer, you know, because I was not able to hold my pen also. Then I went to my uncle, he gave me anxiolytics, I took those anxiolytics, I somehow appeared for the paper. And then that is the time I decided that no, I want to be cool. So I was searching the path, and I ended up in this temple, I ended up in ISKCON. I read the Gita, I started chanting. exactly opposite to this in my third MBBS final exams. You know, I was so super cool. You know, everybody used to be tensed, and in the morning I was plucking flowers from the garden, and logon ko laga ki pagal ho gaya ki tu kar kya raha hai. Mera ho gaya padke. And actually ho gaya. I had so much marks that I could have got into MS surgery also, but because I loved teaching, I took up to human anatomy. But what I'm saying is, you just made me cool. And once I became cool, I was able to read so much. I was able to study so much. I remember sitting with circle of my friends, and I used to be finishing off, you know, systems after systems. And I used to feel this watch, and my friends used to look at the watch, and before the exam, I would say, "Ghadi kya bhag raha hai yaar? Koi to pakdo second, isko minute, arm ko or hour arm ko ghum 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 idhar ho nahi raha." And for me, I used to feel this watch is moving so slow. You know, same two people studying in the room, and I used, because when our mind becomes cool by our faith in God, when our mind becomes cool by chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. When we chant this Mahamantra, we become cool. When we read the message of God, we visit the temple. Many of us must have experienced, we come to the temple, we sit in the temple, we feel so nice. One thing people tell me, everyone, sir, wo mandir mein jaate na, bahut achha lagta. We carry that in at atmosphere and always be cool. Always be cool. You'll become one of the best professional, best engineer, best doctor, best business person. So don't just run after happiness. Run after fulfillment. Because once the heart is full, you know, we can give that happiness to others. Like we say, when the stomach is full, body is happy. When the roots are fulfilled, the plant is happy, and the soul is fulfilled by chanting the names of God. And only when we are a kind of a fulfilled soul, we can give happiness to others and make our life fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So we are very, very thankful to Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle for addressing so beautifully to all the students. Here on YouTube, we ask our viewers that if they have any questions, they can feel free to ask. And some students are sitting here also. If they have any question, they can raise their hands. Yes. So the question is how we can practice detachment.
Thank you so much for a very nice question. As we discussed, that attachment leads to misery, right? We are attached to many things, and more things we are attached, every time we lose one thing we are attached, we become miserable. So therefore we have to practice detachment. Now, how spirituality brings about detachment? Like any one of you has a pen, or anybody is carrying a pen over here? Yeah. Thank you. What is your name?
Adarsh.
So this is Adarsh pen, which normally I am a very, I lose my pens every day. So I always take it from my students. So now I like this pen. Gel pen. There are two things that can happen. I always remember that this is Adarsh pen, and when the session is over, I have to give it back to him. Other feeling, I may like the pen and I may feel like keeping it to myself. So with that second feeling, I slowly, after my session, I am doing like this. Then Adarsh intervenes and says, "Sir, my pen." And then it becomes so painful for me because my plan was to take it home. So unnecessarily I have created a misery. The pen belonged to Adarsh. So if throughout the session, if I would have been thinking that this pen belongs to Adarsh, at the end of the session he asks me back, I just give it to him, things don't become painful for me, right? Similarly, right from our body, let's start with our body. Have we created our bodies? Agar option rehta tha Amazon pe to we would have got best hair, best height, thoda sa ye karke ye color, wo color, no, slimness, everything, good muscles. We have not created. Our parents also didn't have that choice. Body was just... So we say that house belongs to me when we build it. Have we built our body? No. Still we say this is my body. My body. You know, I'm just going from the basics. We say this is my body, my body. And we live in that. And that's how people at the time of death, why people are so fearful. One is pain of the disease which they are suffering. And second is the pain that I have to leave this body in which I lived for so many years. Hostel rooms, many students stay in the hostel. How we get attached to our room? For 5 years we are staying here, we put a curtain, everything. And after 5 years the warden says, okay, your course is over now. Vacate the room. Room, window ka view and my posters, everything. Room never belonged to us. But we got attached. So practicing spirituality, hearing lectures again and again makes us realize that everything belongs to God. When it doesn't belong to me, why should I be attached? Hamara kuch hai nahi. Even this body is not ours. When we have control, you know, when we say thing is mine, ye mera ghar hai, mera ispe control hai. We say that, okay, I have control over this house. Body, do we have control? It just falls sick and we end up in MICU, right? When I was in MICU, so many of my students were there, so I, you know, with me. So that I don't feel alone. So I realized, so body is also not under my control. So if body is not under my control, and but thing is, detachment should never be practiced artificial. Don't get up one day and say, I am detached. No, father, mother, I am detached from you. Try to get attached to God. It's a parallel process. It's not something which I am saying that achieve it tomorrow morning. Start chanting God's name. With everything, you know, anything happening, you understand God is under control. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So you get anything, you know, I have practiced this. I buy a new shirt, I go to my altar, keep it before the Lord. Because of you, I got it. So when it is torn, you wanted to take it back. So it's torn now. So this is how we practice. Everything we offer to God, that this is come by your grace, and whenever you want, you can take it back also. It's a constant consciousness fight which we have to do in our mind. That is why this society was named as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You have to become conscious that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. You know, we feel this belongs to me, that belongs to me. We get some friends, we feel this friend also belongs to me. Our friend is talking to somebody, he said, "Are ya, tu mere ko chhod ke usse kyun baat kar raha?" So we have so much this thing. No, everything belongs to me. So whatever by His grace comes in my life, I should not be attached also, because He can take it back. So that makes us peaceful, right? That nothing belongs to me. Everything comes from Him. It comes from Him. I have to just remember, it is His. I am just a caretaker. I am just a caretaker. I am just a trustee of what is under my care. So we never tell even householders in our society, we never tell them that, oh, you people detach yourself from family. No. I have a son, I have a daughter. I always keep a feeling that they are God's property under my care. You know, I have a house. This is God's house, not my house. हम लोग कैसे होते हैं? मेरा घर, ये तेरा घर. You know, we have this thing feeling. So this is how our consciousness slowly we become. When it becomes pure, we realize that everything belongs to Him, coming by His grace, going by His grace, and that's how detachment comes naturally. It should come naturally. We should not be artificially getting detached. Getting attached to God and understanding that everything belongs to Him brings about detachment. I hope this answered your question. Yes?
Sometimes it is misunderstood that people practicing spirituality become passive. Like they stop endeavoring. They do not want to, they are satisfied with what they have. Like for example, we are fine with everything. Why to endeavor more? Why to work harder? If we are, if Krishna is living at us, I'm fine with this also. So how to balance this?
Yeah, so the question is very nice. They are asking that sometimes we find that those who take up to devotional service just become satisfied with little they have. Like for example, MBBS students feel that just let me do MBBS, let me not go for future courses. So how to balance this? You have to take guidance. You know, like we should not be, you know, as if we artificially detach ourselves and artificially try to become a saint, and after 10 years suddenly we feel no, and again we find ourselves preparing for PG NEET. So it should not happen like that. So always we should be taking, before I get late, I want to return Adarsh pen. This pen belongs to Adarsh. For Adarsh, you should remember this pen belongs to Krishna. So if you use it, you should not feel bad. So, you have to always take guidance. There are so many spiritual counselors which are available in this society. Because many times our decision may not be correct. It may not be practical. So, like for example, in my case, it's not that I took up to a medical teacher's job just because I didn't want to become a surgeon. I was getting surgery. I had a backache problem, so I became a medical teacher. But even for that, when I approached my mentor, His Grace Gaurang Prabhu, so I told him that I have decided that I'm not going to become a surgeon. I'm going to become a medical teacher. That time the salary of the medical teacher was 7,500. And first thing he told me is he directed me to one of our devotees who was additional director of health services, Dr. Ashok Poddar. He said, no, you go to him, you talk to him. So I almost spoke half an hour with him that I should become a medical teacher. And then he said, yeah, because now the fifth pay commission is coming, then the sixth pay commission and seventh pay, you will have goods. Right now you may have to go through for some years or for few years. And I took guidance, and we have to follow. Of course, we have to follow what makes us happy. We should unnecessarily don't get into field which makes us unhappy. But we have to understand that by good educational qualification, we have a better opportunity to serve the society and set a very good example. So this what question you are asking is the same question which Arjuna was talking about. He was saying that I don't want this war. Let me just go and chant Hare Krishna and go to the forest. The whole Gita was spoken to answer the question which you are asking. And what Krishna said to Arjuna was, Mam Anusmar Yuddhach. You remember me and fight. You fight for me. You know, that changes our consciousness. Why I should study? You know, after becoming devotee, whether I should study or not study. Why I should study? When I study, I get good marks. And people see, oh, he has got good marks. And he is also a devotee of Krishna. So let me also become a devotee of Krishna. So maybe I will also be able to concentrate nicely. Like, oh, he is such a good famous businessman. He is such a good doctor. He is such a good surgeon. So, we can inspire people by doing good in our life. And that is the reason we should study hard, actually. And never think that my studying books and my devotional service, these are two separate things. For students, you should be chanting also. So never think that I need not chant because I am studying. No, you should chant so that you can study nicely. And you study nicely so that you inspire others to chant. Because once you study nicely and people say, oh, he is the one who is visiting this temple and he is getting good marks. Let me also go to the temple and see whether my results also improve. So, we inspire others. We inspire others by our good performance. And that is the reason that we should be rather studying hard. And if we don't study hard, and then people will say that, see at this person, he was studying hard before and then he started going to the temple and now he is not studying, so I will also not go to the temple. So rather it's a very good, big moral responsibility of anyone who takes up to devotional service. We should be striving our best. It's not that we are saying that all those who are devotees of Krishna should come first. We should be working hard. We should be doing our duties properly. As a duty towards our parents, as a duty towards our society, and as a duty to set up a good example. Otherwise, what will happen is those who are not practicing devotion and those who are doing corrupt practices, they will become great and good and they will have all the power and the whole society will. That's what Krishna was telling Arjuna, that if you don't fight, here is Duryodhan who was trying to strip a lady in an assembly. So if you don't fight, they will come into power. They will come into power and what bad people will be in power and the society will be in mess. So for the society to flourish, there should be good people in power. Now to be in power, you have to be educated nicely. You should have money also. Power doesn't come like that. And why you want money? You don't want money for buying a Mercedes Benz. You want money so that you can spread this divine message to everyone. For that I have to study. So now your study also becomes devotional service. So you should chant also and study also nicely so that you can make an impact on this world. So many people will be just inspired looking at your studies and your results. Okay? Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Yuvraj Bhosle, for giving such wonderful session and addressing all the questions. So we are very, very thankful to all our YouTube viewers and the students who are present here. Very, very thankful to everyone. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Like just now, I was thinking that when I wanted to ask the question, but so many others already started asking. So how to be the last one to speak? Because everybody wants to give their opinions, and if they think that if they are in the last, their opinion would matter less, or their opinion may lose its relevance.
Yeah.
So how to build up the patience?
Yeah. So you know you are talking about how one should be patient, especially while giving opinions, because you know everybody is passionately giving their opinions, and we are sitting silently, and our words may lose the credibility. So that does not happen actually. Rather, when we listen to others, we get lot many viewpoints. You know, it's listening is a skill. You know, I give an example of a father and son having their meals. And in that, between the meal, the son said, "Father, I want to say something." eat your meal first. We'll speak after dinner. It's urgent. No, no, we'll speak after dinner. And then the dinner is over, the father says, okay, what you wanted to say? No, there was a cockroach in your dal. not ready. We are normally not ready to listen. And especially from our junior, from bachchus. You know, even when we are in third year, we are not ready to listen from somebody from first year. So, don't worry about whether you will not be heard. What I would suggest is we should, learning to hear, you know, that is a very painful thing. It's difficult to practice. But somewhere we have to make a start and listen from others. Okay, let people speak. You know, initially just listen. It's not necessary that we speak. You know what habit we have? We immediately offer solutions. You know, कोई हमको कुछ अपना problem बता रहा है ना तो हम immediately yes ऐसा कर बीच में रोक. You know, I had attended a session on husband-wife relationship, and there you know the lady who was conducting the session, she said, many times you see, you know, wife is talking from the kitchen and husband is reading newspaper outside. Then she is saying, अरे वो काम वाली भाई बोल रही है कि पगार बढ़ाने का है. तो बाहर से न्यूज़पेपर पढ़ने वाला का खाली आवाज आता है. अरे वो छोटा बच्चे के स्कूल में वो बहुत शोर में जाता है, उसकी क्लास टीचर का फोन आया था, वो बोल रही थी तुम्हारे बच्चे को थोड़ा बीवी बाहर से बोलते, अरे वो बड़ा बच्चा अपना जाए जा रहा है, मैथ्स में बराबर परफॉर्म नहीं कर रहा है, वो टीचर बोल रही थी तुम मैथ्स का ट्यूशन लगा. Then she comes out and hits the newspaper. Are you listening? You know what the husband says? I have heard all the 3 points. I can tell you in the sequence. And I will give you a solution also. So the wife says that is not what a wife wants. She just wants the husband to listen nicely. Not doing, uska newspaper pad raha, awaaz kar. हम लोग भी बहुत बार ऐसे करते हैं. हाँ एक्चुअली लिसनिंग टू पीपल. सो यू प्रैक्टिस दिस. व्हेन समबडी इज ओपनिंग देयर हार्ट, जस्ट लिसन. डोंट ऑफर सॉल्यूशंस इमीडिएटली. हम लोग को ऐसा लगता है मैं बहुत चैंपियन है सॉल्यूशन देने में. चार पांच सॉल्यूशन मैं ऑप्शन दे दूंगा, मल्टीपल चॉइस क्वेश्चन, ए बी सी डी, ऑल ऑफ द अबव, नन ऑफ द अबव. कैन डोंट बिकम लाइक दैट. Just listen to people. And don't push your opinions also. हम लोग को जब आदत लगता है ना अपना opinion push करने का, that's not a good habit actually. Then we just want our opinion to be universally accepted every time. So doesn't matter. You actually perform good in life, I'm telling you. Once you do good in life ना, people just wait for our words and catch it. अच्छा इसने ऐसा बोला, बस खत्म. Our opinion doesn't get weight by whether we speak first or last. Our opinion doesn't get weight by speaking loudly. सब लोग बोलते रहते उसके बीच में, हम लोग कभी कभी अरे मेरा सुनो, मैं क्या बोलूं. Our opinion gets weight by our credibility. How good we are, how good we are performing in our studies, and everything. We will listen. The boss hota hai na, boss are everything. People just say, sir, aap bas bolo, ye karna, ye karna. So we should try to reach that height where we are heard. But even when we reach that height, before we give our opinion, always make others, you know, hear to others. Not that we have to do what they say and then give your opinion. Because they also should feel nice. Otherwise, you know, people working with us get frustrated. Are ye to apna hi bol deta, bolta ye final hai. So why are we here? It's always here. So that's what I was speaking. Yeah? Thank you.